Good morning, this is Jake Richardson with your Community Forum. And I am here this morning with Tommy Crane, Deputy Fire Marshal of the Radcliffe Fire Department. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing today?
Doing well.
All right. And we have Tommy here to talk about Fire Prevention Week starting October 6th.
Yes. Fire Prevention Week is a week that NFPA, kind of lines up with the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. So each year there's a theme, and that week is focused on just fire prevention, focused around that theme. And then at the Radcliffe Fire Department, we pretty much take that whole month to do fire prevention. We take the opportunity to go to our schools, the local elementary schools. We spend a day at each of those schools and just try to talk to the kids. We let them see us in our gear. We let them see the truck, and you know, everybody likes to see the fire trucks. And then we usually have another station where we have an inflatable fire safety house. We were able to purchase with donations, and it's been a great tool. We used it last year. It's pretty much life size. So we get to take the kids in. They get to practice crawling around, practicing their fire escape. Understanding what it sounds like when they hear the smoke alarm, and you know that's when they need to start moving. The theme for this year is actually not every hero wears a cape. Plan and practice your escape, and that's the big thing, is that we want to make sure that everybody practices their fire escape. Everybody knows those two ways out of their home, out of their sleeping area. We want to make sure that everybody has, remind people to have smoke alarms on every level. Every bedroom and even every hall outside of the sleeping areas. Another thing to remember is the smoke alarms do have a life, so 10 years or less. So make sure that you change them at 10 years at least. The cool thing is some of the newer smoke alarms actually have a lithium battery in them. So when you hang them up, that lithium battery, when it's done in its 10 years, then it's what's called the end of life alarm. So it'll actually start to chirp. Carbon monoxide detectors have had those for years, but now they've put that technology in smoke alarms. But whether your smoke alarm is hardwired and interconnected, or whether it's battery operated, just make sure that you check them, check those dates, and make sure that you check them. At least once a month. We try to encourage people, but at least a couple times a year, just check them, push the button. Another thing is talking about the carbon monoxide detectors. Make sure that you if you have a propane or natural gas or even a wood stove or an attached garage, it's good to have that carbon monoxide detector, and have that so that you can detect that gas, because you can't smell carbon monoxide and you can't smell it, taste it, or anything like that. So,
right.
So on those, usually 7 years, some of them now have a 10-year life, so those you need to check as well. But those are a good tool to have, especially with the weather starting to cool off finally. So that's something. On your escape, on the two ways out, make sure that they're not obstructed on the inside or the outside. A lot of people think, okay, I'm not going to put anything in front of the window on the inside of the house. But think about the landscaping and stuff like that on the outside, that trees and bushes are not right in front of that window. Make sure you keep them trimmed below the windowsill, so that if you've got to get out, you don't have something in your way on your way out there. Locks, if you have a key deadbolt, make sure that key is accessible to everybody in the house, because if you're crawling to get out and you go to the door and you can't unlock the door, that's kind of in a pickle there. So make sure that you can get to the lock and, it is accessible. Maybe have that key on a hook somewhere close to the door on the way out so that you can get out easily. Make sure you have a meeting place. That's very important. When we get there, when the fire departments get there, we want to make sure that we know everybody is out safely. So if we're, do we need to go rescue somebody? So make sure you have that meeting place. It could be, a tree in the front yard. It could be the neighbor's front yard. That's even better because you're, away from the fire itself. Make sure that we tell the kids, make sure you get out and stay out. We tell them to get low and go and get out and stay out. Those are two things we hammer into them before we leave after we visited the schools. But make sure you have that meeting place. Make sure that, everybody knows. And, if you have visitors, make sure they know your fire escape plan. You know, you have company over for holidays or just in from town, you know, in town to visit. Make sure they know, you know, where that meeting place is. Make sure they know the ways out, how to get out of the house quickly and safely. Practice that fire escape. You know, at least twice a year is what NFPA recommends. Maybe one in a day and one at night, just so you can kind of get the feel of the different. You know, maybe even make it a little bit fun and challenging. When we start training as firefighters, one of the things that we do is we will blindfold ourselves so we can practice feeling of the wall. And, you know, because in smoky conditions, you don't have good visibility. So, you know, we talk to people about, you know, practice, you know, maybe practice and feel the wall and kind of see, you know, which direction you're going and practice which way is the best way. We also recommend closing doors behind you if you have time as you leave to help kind of compartmentalize the fire. You know, now they even recommend, you know, more and more of sleeping with the door closed to help keep the smoke out. With more homes having the interconnected smoke alarms, then a smoke alarm in the basement can set off a smoke alarm upstairs. So that's something important too. But you know, that's kind of, you know, we don't tell people how to, you know, how to sleep in their home, but we do make recommendations, you know, that if you can close those doors and still hear the smoke alarm, that's pretty important. You know, once again, we remind people, get low and go, get out and stay out. That's a big thing. We remind the kids to get low, get below that smoke. They can see and breathe better, and to get out and stay out. Don't go back in for anything.
Especially with young kids, if they have something they're particularly attached to, they'll have the urge to run back into this burning structure and grab
it. Absolutely. And as a parent, this is you know, something, you know, remember that, you know, if you can get out and tell us where that child is, because we can get in there and we can get to the child. Because if people start going back into the house, then those are more, you know, more people that we've got to go rescue. And there's very little time that you have in a modern home when a fire starts. Most people think that they have at least 6 minutes before the fire becomes life-threatening in their home. But with today's home furnishings and the stuff that we put in our homes now, it's actually less than that, you know, anywhere from, you know, a minute and a half to 3 minutes, you know, depending on, you know, how the things are burning. And so you don't have a lot of time. You know, I tell kids, you know, it's less time than it takes to pop a bag of popcorn in the microwave. So you don't have a lot of time. So that's why we remind them to get low and go and get out and stay out. You know, so there's not a lot of time. And a lot of people don't practice their fire escape. You know, NFPA did a survey and only 1 in 3 households actually had a fire escape plan. And of those, only about half of those actually practiced them. So they maybe drew the plan out, but they didn't really practice it to understand and make sure everybody knew. The other thing is to think about what type of building that you live in. You know, if you live in just a one-family home, do you live in an apartment, maybe a mobile home? You know, each of those structures offer different concerns as you know, someone who's living there. In an apartment, you know, a lot of times if you know you've got multiple floors, so you may live on the second floor. You know, what's your plan if the apartment across the street catches fire? You know, and a lot of times their door is right across the stairwell from your door. You know, how is your plan if you need to get out of there? If you have multiple levels, you know, remember don't use the elevator. If you've got an elevator in your apartment building, remember you're going to use the stairs. You know, do your kids understand, you know, where which stairwell is closest to them, and things like that. You know, how are the windows even in your apartment? If you live or if you have bedrooms, even on a one family home, if you have a bedroom on the second floor, you know, maybe look at getting a fire escape ladder. They roll up, they're really compact. You can get them at your local hardware stores. They're handy. You know, they're good for emergencies to get out that window. So, you know, just make sure you help your kids understand they're not a toy, you know, and they're not a way to escape when you're grounded in your room, you know. So,
and I know a lot of apartment buildings have the metal fire escape scaffolding as well that people can use.
Some do. Some have not as much as they used to. The big thing with that was because of just maintaining them, because they're always in the weather. So, you know, most of them will still have a balcony or something like that. So you can get out and, you know, you still have a little bit easier. But just think about what your options are, and you know, do a little research. Like I said, the fire escape ladders are really good. We tell people, especially kids, if you can't get out that window, to stay close to the window. Make sure that the door is closed to your room. Put something around the bottom edge of the door to keep the smoke and the heat out, and get close to that window. And if you can't open it, or you can't get out of that window because you're, you know, on a higher floor, stay close and make lots of noise. You know, because I tell them it's going to be so much faster for us to put a ladder up to that window and climb up there and get you out that window than it is for us to try to crawl around and find you. You know, if you're, you know, we tell kids don't hide from us. Don't hide under the bed and in the bathroom or anything, in closets. You know, get to where we can get to you, make noise, you know, so we can find you quickly. That's a big thing. Like you said, time is the thing that we're really worried about. You know, so that's something to remember there. So that's a big thing, is make sure that everybody knows your plan. Try to practice that plan. Make sure that you know, you remember those steps of getting low and go, and get out and stay out, have that meeting place. Those are big things that we really talk about, as well as making sure you have working smoke alarms, definitely.
So what are some of the more common ways that fires get started in these homes?
Well, you know, cooking fires is a big one. We really talk to people about making sure when you're in the kitchen, you know, if you've got something on the stove, make sure you stay with it, you know. You know, make sure that you're there if you're cooking, you know, especially if you're frying anything with grease or things with cooking oil. Make sure you stay with your food while you're cooking. You know, we recommend, you know, trying to keep maybe a kid-free zone. If you do have your children helping, you know, just make sure that you're there with them, that you're supervising them. You know, simple things like turning the pot handle or the frying pan handle towards the inside of the stove so that it doesn't get bumped and spill the grease. You know, making sure that, you know, if you have food, it catches fire in the oven or the microwave. We tell people just keep the door closed, turn the power off, keep the door closed, and it'll go out. If you've got food on the stove, make sure you keep a lid. The best thing is to keep a lid or maybe a cookie sheet, something that'll cover that and actually smother the fire. Once you put that on there and you turn the heat off, the fire is going to die. You know, don't throw flour on it. Don't throw water on it. Don't, you know, we've had people, they'll grab the pan and try to run out the door and get it out of the house. The risk there is if you trip or fall, then you could spread the fire. You could spill it on you and cause severe burns. So make sure that you leave it there. Make sure that you have something that you can cover it and, you know, and turn the heat off. And you're gonna eliminate, you know, two of the three sources of the problem with the fire, and that's the oxygen and the heat. So once you take those, you know, you've messed up the fire triangle, they call it, so we call it the tetrahedron. It sounds cooler, but you've messed up that chemical chain reaction there. So you've done that. You know, if you have kids helping cook, make sure you supervise them. Make sure they understand the instructions. You know, wear short sleeves, or you know, don't wear loose sleeves. If you've got a long sleeve shirt, make sure that there's no little, you know, threads or anything dangling, or it's, you know, if it's buttons up on the, you know, make sure it's buttoned up, things like that. Make sure, you know, like I said, try to keep pets and kids, smaller children, out of the way, you know, so that you don't have that potential of somebody getting hurt there. Smoking, you know, it's one of the things now, of course, with it being so dry this summer, you know, we've had a couple of mulch fires, small, and we've caught them, and you know, people have caught them and been proactive. But you know, if you're someone who smokes, you know, use a receptacle, you know, and make sure you don't just flick that cigarette out. You know, and if you're a business that has those receptacles, make sure they stay cleaned out. You know, we actually had an apartment fire where they had one in the stairwell, and it was, you know, it was too full. And so the discarded cigarette butt actually started up, you know, under the wall and caused some problems. So make sure that that's something that we remind people. Electrical safety, make sure that if you've got cords, you know, if you've got a cord that's behind a piece of furniture, make sure it's not crushed. You know, that cord's not, or that piece of furniture isn't pushed up against that cord. It takes time, but over time that can cause that resistance, and that damaged cord can cause enough resistance from the electricity that can actually start a fire, a smoldering fire that would build up. Like I said, it takes more time, but it does happen there too as well.
Okay, so, and you mentioned having smoke alarms on in multiple rooms. Where can people get smoke alarms if they don't currently have one?
Well, there's pretty much any of your, any of your hardware stores, even Walmart, Target, a lot of those places. And actually, October is a really good month to purchase smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors, because with it being fire safety, a lot of times they'll have them on sale. You can get like a 2-pack, or you can get a multiple pack. You can get one with a carbon monoxide and a smoke alarm together. Make sure that you look. The date is very important. Like I said, even though it may test okay, with being 10 years old, it's collected dust through the years. It's new technology, the technology is better, and the chemical in there can degrade over time. So the detection, and it's important to, if you have an older home where the smoke alarms aren't hardwired and interconnected, there are options. There are wireless smoke alarms now. So with a lot of the wireless technology, you can put smoke alarms in your home and they'll sense, when the other smoke alarm goes off. So, we have a lot of those things. Now they even have like a whole system. I think one of them was called Nest, which actually does that. It'll do burglar alarm and everything. So, and there's even an app that goes with it. So that's a good feature as well. So that's important to remember. Smoke alarms are, now they're small. There's one called the Atom that's really tiny. Not any smaller than a doorknob or any bigger than a doorknob. So really small, you don't see it. So if you've got, concerned about it looking ugly or whatever, it's a small, unobtrusive smoke alarm as well. So.
All right, perfect. Fire Prevention Week, October 6th through 12th. Tommy Crane with the Radcliffe Fire Department. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
All right, I'm Jake Richardson.